and economic influence in Saudi Arabia, whether they will attempt to quash even this war powers resolution in the Senate.
Sarah Lee Whitson, Executive Director of Democracy for the Arab World Now, or DAWN. And that does it for our show today. Juan Gonzalez gives a speech at the CUNY School of Labor and Urban Studies at 3 p.m. He'll be speaking about 50 years of defending and chronicling America's workers. On Monday at 6:30, he'll give an address on Latinos, race, and empire at the CUNY Graduate Center. To see his first speech on reflections of 40 years of fighting for racial and social justice in journalism, go to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Portland Folk Music Society Concert Series, continuing Saturday, December 10th, with the Winter Dance Celtic Christmas Celebration from the New World String Project. The Folk Music Series features Celtic seasonal favorites plus new holiday music with a Nordic twist, with two members of Molly's Revenge and Irish Dancers. Saturday, December 10th at 7:30, in the Reedwood Friends Church on Southeast Steele Street in Portland. The concert series continues through May. Ticket information can be found at kboo.fm under Community Events.
Listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. I am Tammy, and with me is Althea Billing.
Hello, hi, good morning. Hello. We're back.
Yes, we are. That song got me pumped. I know we say it every time, but yeah. If there is a song that would pump me up.
We do get pretty pumped on that song.
Do I know any of the other lyrics or any other parts of the song? Absolutely not, but just that part, it'll get me.
What else do you need to know? You know? Ooh. And also, great news, folks, our phones are back.
Woo!
Okay, this is a show where we can talk to you once again. We did the show last week when our phones were down, and we had a great conversation, but, you know, we missed talking to you. So stick around for the second half of the show. We'll have our community question when you can call in and chat with us here at The Gap. I do want to let folks know that this is KBOO's end of year membership drive. Now is a great time to get involved with us. Either maybe you have some time to volunteer. Maybe you want to toss us a couple bucks before the end of the year. We deeply appreciate it. We rely on it. KBOO.fm/give. You can also text KBOO to 44321 or send us a check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, 97214 in Portland, Oregon. Yeah, we really appreciate it. We love to hear from you, and we require your support. So now is a great time to come through.
Yes, end of the year, time for giving, feeling charitable. KBOO's here.
Yeah.
There it is. And like I mentioned before, this is The Gap on KBOO.
Did we say our names? I'm Althea.
I did. I did an extra long Althea Billing
today. All right, I spaced out. I was so excited about the dang phones.
Yeah, and these headphones work.
I was so excited about the phones that I forgot my own name.
I feel like a princess. Yes, but I am Tammy, and with me is the magnificent Althea.
Hi.
And this is our program, The Gap, every Friday on at 8 a.m.
Yep.
And our program usually splits into two parts. Part one, in which we have either a roundtable conversation about a news roundup, not roundtable.
News roundup,
not
yeah.
a single table here is round.
Yeah, they've all got corners.
Every single one.
That's a little inside the station info for you guys.
Behind the scenes.
Yep.
And we also oftentimes have interviews from local activists and community-based organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And for our second part, we open up the phone lines to you, the listener, to become a caller and answer our community question, which usually falls at the bottom of the hour, a.k.a. 8:30-ish.
I like your use of the phrase bottom of the hour. It got me...
It's radio
like,
talk.
Bottom of the hour? Yeah, I know bottom of the hour.
There it is.
Do they call... Sorry. Do they call... Would they call on the 45, like, the right of the hour?
Oh,
the east of the hour?
And then the left for 15 minutes after?
Yeah.
Did we just make something?
Maybe.
All right, we did it.
We'll see if it sticks. You guys at home can help us get that going.
Yeah. Please use it.
You know what everybody's talking about now? Everybody loves analog clocks and left and right. People are really... Oh, no. Sorry. That would be the left. I'm not good with the left and the rights.
I saw you doing the thing with the fingers. Left or... I always...
The left of the hour. Gosh.
I also have a hard time with left and right.
Yeah.
I have to think about it. And they're like, which side? And I'll... My body knows, but my words...
It was one of my main deficiencies as like a kindergartner is that I had a hard time reading clocks. Ooh. Like my teacher had like this clock stamp where
sure.
she was like, read this, kid. And then like left and right. And I was like, I can read, but what about this? I got nothing.
Remember being a kid and you learn something new and you're like, I will never be able to do this. And now it's, you know, like reading the clocks.
Yeah.
And now for you, it's like...
Well, I have to think about it, but I have the tools. I can make it happen. It's just going to take me a beat or so, but that's all right.
That's how I feel about construction.
Wait till I found out about military time. Hello.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. That's I'm sorry. Oh, I can imagine little Althea. Wait a second.
Excuse me?
What is 16 hours?
Yeah.
Well, besides, what's a phobia of... You know what you call a person who makes clocks? Horologist.
Really?
As an hour.
Whoa, the study of hours.
Actually, I don't know if it's from the word hour, but it is horologist because I knew someone who fixed clocks and they were very
That's
into
cool.
old school tinkering of things that, yeah.
Levers, gears, knobs.
Yeah.
I love it. Well,
the insides of watches and clocks are really interesting.
Yeah.
It's a lot of
Not to be a jerk,
science.
But are they a little too complicated?
What is it, winding me up?
Hello. Okay, all right. Are we ready to shift into our news?
Speaking of being wound up.
Oh, okay, yeah, go for it. Go there.
The queen of segues over here. Speaking of being wound up.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. What is going on? News, we're going to do the news roundup.
Yeah.
Round up.
Let's start local, I think.
Start local, and then we'll move on to more national and then international, maybe.
Yeah.
Renee Gonzalez mishap. That's the nicest way
Portland Commissioner elect.
That's the nicest way that
I can tell you. I just looked it up. It's still on his Instagram.
Ooh, that's awkward.
2 days ago. All right, so let's get you up to speed. Portland City Commissioner elect Renee Gonzalez shared a map on his Instagram, saying that it was showing a map of quote homeless camp clusters with shooting overlay in parentheses dots, and it's like a iPhone photo of like this map. That's not what it shows at all. It shows just clusters of shootings in Portland. Whoever on his team that posted this mistakenly identified that it was also showing the location of homeless camps, which it does not. And at first, apparently, this is according to the Willamette Week article. We'll link it in our show notes if you want to see it. His campaign manager like argued that it was correct.
The top like it does it. It's okay to say, oh man, I was wrong. My bad.
Oops, we should delete that. It says, I'll quote this for you. Quote: It was printed out, and Renee was like, "We need a copy of that." Smith recalls, who at first insisted the map illustrated homeless camps. He later said, "You may be right. There have been a lot of meetings."
Oh my God.
But the thing is, in these Instagram comments of this post, where he's saying that shootings, the location and density of shootings is correlated to homeless camps, there's people in the comments saying like, oh, finally, like someone's saying it, thanks for making it so clear. Mm-hmm. This is totally true, like, this is what residents already know. It's like, why has no one from the city been saying this? You know why no one from the city has been saying this? Because it's not true.
Yeah, that's really, this is exactly, you know, when we were in 2020, I don't know why we aren't, this is not still in front and center. False information and disinformation and misinformation.
Mm.
Mistakes happen.
Yeah.
Okay, mistakes happen to people who apparently have been whose millions have been funneled into them winning place in office.
Yeah.
But let's say mistakes happen.
I mean, you'd think that someone who's
let's say they've been in a lot of meetings.
Sure, a lot of meetings. Apparently, the one that this would have been brought up in was only 5 minutes long.
You see, and that's what this is so infuriating to me because. You made this mistake, you posted it up, you aren't taking it down, so that means that you're still trying to create some sort of narrative? So you're trying to create some sort of narrative, or you're trying to maintain some sort of narrative. And in this article, the spokesperson from the Community Safety Division said that they met for five minutes with Renee Gonzalez's people. So, and it's just, I can imagine, like, and they saw a picture of this map and they're like, okay, we need that, print it out. And that's it. Like you're looking to create your own narrative. And it's so dangerous. A, this is just fake. This is just not, that's not what the map is representing. I don't know, like how much can we spoon feed politicians so that they understand what the heck understand the responsibility that's bestowed upon them.
Right. The influence.
And you know, these are the type of things that then, like, it's fear-mongering, it's creating tension, it's creating hate, you know? This is December, dude. It's like, it was, 32 degrees last night?
Mm.
Come on now.
Yeah, it snowed last weekend. Yeah, and so, I mean, the other thing about this map is that there's a bunch of dots that are locations that shootings have happened, and then there's these kind of heat map spots that are indicating where there's a high density of shootings. This is only about shootings. I don't know that camps were brought up at all in the conversation. The great thing about maps and this data, so this was done by like a consultant over the summer that put together this map. Anytime they put together a map, they're going to put a key on it. That's what I love. I love when they say, oh, here's what these things represent. There's two elements on here. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're not...
You have a little whatever diagram thing that tells you how far it is. So you have a little key, and then if there's icons, it tells you what.
It tells you what the icons mean.
Key thing that tells you what the icons mean.
Yeah, and yeah, you know why no one's saying this? Because it's not true. That's the line at the end. Throughout his campaign, Gonzalez repeatedly said he would lead with data-driven solutions. The post remains up, though. After Willamette Week contacted the city and his campaign manager, the campaign made a note on its post to reflect that the description was inaccurate, but they didn't delete it. They didn't change the description.
To keep up the narrative. These days with all some
like,
of the...
Like, it still has... The entire explanation, saying this exact thing... Three huge paragraphs. At the very bottom, correction, the clusterings are shootings, not camps. Misunderstood the explanation in the meeting. So none of what you said matters because the evidence that you're presenting is not evidence for that. You misconstrued it. You misheard in a meeting, which like, you know, do an earwax candle, I guess. Or have people who understand what's going on. But... Like I think it's really irresponsible to leave that
it
up.
Is, that's,
because
it's
who's going to read all the way down and the way down to the bottom?
Exactly.
Delete it.
Exactly. Yeah. And usually when you put edit corrections, it's like at the top, and then you know, like it goes the latest at the bottom, first in, first out. You know.
Yeah. Can I?
Oh, please.
I'm just looking at the Instagram comments now. One user says, "Is." I think being sarcastic, doing a quote, oops, I misread the stats. I guess I should have paid attention. Oh, but yeah, I'm doing a great job, Portland. Also, I'll just leave this misinformation up here on all my social media so the lies get spread real thick.
That is true. We're also, when people like, you know, share things or repost things, usually the full caption isn't reposted with it. It's just the image of the, oh my God. Oh, this is so, it's, It's very negligent. It's irresponsible.
And I mean, even people who support him are saying, I'm a supporter of yours, but fighting this very important issue with misinformation is not it. You're going to lose credibility. A one-line edit at the bottom is not sufficient. You should take this down.
It's your own people telling you.
Yeah. Public servants should be extremely precise with their words. I agree with you, former Dan PDX. Sorry, I'm getting lost in the Instagram comments.
This is how they get you.
Okay, we can switch gears here.
Although,
go ahead.
The concentration. I mean, it is, you know, good to have this information. You know, I thought that all of the whole city hears as many gunshots as I do. I didn't realize that I just live in a place where it's a bit of a, how do you say, a heat ball?
A hot spot. Sorry, that makes it sound like, the nightlife.
Yeah.
Just opened a new restaurant. It's a hot spot.
But this is interesting. And I think, if anything, you know, like, this map would make more of a conversation to talk around, like, Measure 114, you know?
Yeah.
The housing crisis. So that's where we are with the Commissioner Gonzalez's mishap. Misinformation,
which, right, it's not like this map shows good things.
Yeah,
it's not like this is like, oh yeah, don't worry about it, all camps and shootings are fine and good. Like, it still shows you valuable information about interventions that the city could be making to prevent these shootings, you know.
It's
important in its own right without you
trying to
completely misconstruing it.
Yeah. It also makes me kind of upset to know that the meeting with the community safety division was only 5 minutes, and look at all this hoopla that's coming from it, because it's like, are you not respecting, like, the people that you're meeting with enough to, like, listen to what they say? And I don't know, this is important stuff. This is people's lives, you know. These are the things that create movement, that create action, and we cannot be, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, we can't be, like, so theoretical and heady when it comes to people's lives and safety, as just seems to keep going and keep people in positions of power keep doing.
Yeah.
Like, well, how about if maybe we could, maybe this is a homeless, the homeless shooting correlation map. Maybe it is. I don't know. Just post it, say it is.
Yeah.
What?
It's not even like a clear photo of it.
Irresponsible.
There's definitely, and there is an interesting feature on Instagram that you can report things for being false information. Just mentioning that. There are one other local item we wanted to talk about before we go to the national. I don't know if folks have followed, I don't know if we talked about it here. I think we were thinking about it last week and we just missed out. The Shroom House.
Ooh.
In Northwest Portland. Which there, I'm sorry to be giggling. There was I believe it was Coin or KGW, reported on this like last week and a half ago, where they're like, hey, does anybody care that there's there's like a psychedelic mushroom store in Northwest that seems to be operating totally unregulated?
Yeah, Coin.
We walked in there and interviewed people and they're like, yeah, I don't know. It seems cool. I don't know.
Yeah, so there is a
they got busted is the point.
The shop in Northwest Portland, which was selling, it's called the Mushroom House. They were selling psilocybin mushrooms or AKA magic shrooms.
Yep.
I'm not sure in what variety, but they definitely were also selling them in like the physical mushroom caps and stuff. this article from Oregon Live, but the magic proved short-lived. Well, yes, because this is being
That's
done.
A good line. You know whoever wrote this? Who wrote this? They love that line.
This is Savannah Edens.
Good job, Savannah.
I feel like I'm snitching talking about that. They were in Northwest, we'll say that.
Off of West Burnside.
Okay.
We could say where, I mean, I think the stuff is still there.
It's all like, it's up here. I just feel like I'm snitching, you know?
Yeah.
And,
it was Coin. Sorry,
there was, so they were selling psilocybin mushrooms in all different forms, including caps, to the public. Without a license, without any kind of like OLCC supervision, because there hasn't been any created yet until next month. So in January 2023 is when producer and manufacturing licenses will start being issued to people who want to, you know, be manufacturers of psilocybin mushrooms and I guess grow them or sell. I'm not sure about the selling, but I think the manufacturing, whatever that can mean. This is just very The first article that I saw about this was talking about how they were violating labor laws, and I was just kind of like, why would y'all expect them not to violate? They're violating
the
law.
Regular law.
And
you think they won't stop there?
And it's interesting because the coin article had so much information.
Can I read you some of this coin article?
Please. It's,
when first reporting on Shroom House on Thursday, there were only a few customers coming and going. Friday was a different story. People were standing in long lines outside Shroom House on West Burnside. So I think coin brought them more business. but there's somebody here who says, quote, well, I voted for psilocybin mushrooms in the election in 2020, and so I'm here to take part in that. I understand there's some legal technicalities to it, but I'm here to see what that's all about. It's an enlightenment, and it's what I like to do. Full government name, presumably,
yeah, that also
in the
made
coin
me sad.
Article. And it says, Portland Police and DEA are aware of the location. So this was this time last week.
Hell yeah, they're aware of their location. They have, like, they're short of having billboards downtown. Like, they're really...
Yeah.
They're really out there. And apparently it announced its grand opening on Twitter.
Yeah.
On Twitter. Oh, no, there it was a billboard. I'm just kidding.
I mean, there is... okay, just to be clear, like, psilocybin is passed if you... it's by a licensed professional giving it to you.
Yes.
And it doesn't even start to be legal until, I think, January or February. The regular just sale of it is illegal.
Yeah,
so.
And I'm just wondering, I guess, I wonder if it was kind of like with alcohol where they were like, you have to be 20. Like, I just wonder if no laws have been codified yet, what laws are you upholding, you know? But the measure that what you're talking about is measure 109, I'm seeing here in the article, which Oregonians voted for almost 3 years ago to create psilocybin programs legal.
Yeah.
And it says here, starting January 2023, maybe this is a test run, I don't know, which is next month, people 21 and older will be allowed to take the psychedelic compound in a controlled therapeutic environment under supervision of trained facilitators, which can mean a lot of things. But also, Oregon has no licensed facilitators or service centers at this time.
Yeah. Also, a lot of counties and local governments passed a 2-year ban on it while they tried to get some kind of regulation in place, or just a flat out ban. Same way that they have marijuana. Can I read you one more quote?
Please,
from the
go ahead.
Article? This is another customer saying, I've never seen this stuff before, so I'm trying. I understand it may not be legally up yet, but in Portland, it doesn't seem like people get arrested for anything. End quote. Even though the Oregon Health Authority and police say this is not legal, the long lines seen outside the store show the simple economics of supply and demand.
Sorry.
Arguably should, like, it probably should be legal and consumable in that sense. I just, like, for all of the people who work there, who know that it's not legal, and
I mean,
still,
it does say something.
And then you give your government name to the...
Yes,
anyway.
That was the part where I'm just like, yo, if you know that you're doing something questionable and someone with a camera comes to you and a mic and you say, here's my full government name, I don't know, man. I don't know.
You could definitely say, I'll just go by my first name, kind of like Cher.
Yeah. But that kind of, that reminds me of our community question later on.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Interesting. So to kind of like back up what you were saying about the quote for people not getting arrested, people definitely got arrested.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure they have cases and cases of files and footages and, you know, sitting on people for a minute.
Yeah.
I think that we're looking at 4 arrests right now. And some cash and some items.
10 felony counts of money laundering and 10 counts of unlawful delivery of a controlled substance within 1,000 feet of a school.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
And we are also looking... another part in this article, they also mentioned the measure passed 2 years ago, or last year, about misdemeanor drug possessions, including magic mushrooms, resulting possibly in only a ticket for $100, but not arrest.
Right.
So, I wonder what these folks, what their future will hold. I know that, you know, we've seen over and over again that timing, you know, like how there's, for example, cannabis businesses in Portland that are thriving, and, you know, CEOs and CFOs and all that are really are able to make a living and live comfortably through, you know, the sale and use and legalization, or slow legalization, hopefully, also federal, of cannabis. Mm. And we see how there are people who are just, let's say, a month away, you know, or maybe, you know, let's say a couple of yards away from being in the right state, you know, or mm-hmm. whatever technicality, and they're suffering, you know. So I don't know. I you know, we talked about it with Biden's part, or with Biden's kind of like cannabis rehaul or something, of telling, you know, of,
you just did the hand wave. It was like the hand wave on the cannabis stuff.
Yeah, this is
hey
the
guys,
forgiveness.
Maybe
thing.
Not. Maybe
this is the forgiveness wave. but solely pardons are not. Excuse me, expungements.
Expungements are what we need.
Yes.
Pardons is what we have.
Yes. Expungements are starting to slowly. I mean, there's expungement clinics here in town,
yeah.
you know, in D.C., where they, you know, because that's where Biden lives, and that's all federal because it's not its own state. So, yeah, I think that these folks, it seems like it's two fellas, I feel like they might find some sympathy in the fact that this thing is going to be legalized next month. But
yeah,
also,
I mean,
I don't know. Couldn't you wait a little bit? I don't know. We don't know, you know. But
like,
also,
yeah, wait a month and you might have a technicality. But it's like you full well knew, and your customers full well knew that this.
Yeah, that's really.
It's just so bold. I mean, there's an aspect of like, how did we get here? This worked for a few weeks.
And that's
even.
What I'm wondering. Like, how?
Where did
you
the capital
up...
come from to buy a storefront on West Burnside? They
oh,
had a
money.
Billboard.
This
they got
is
a
America.
Nice sign.
Money's everywhere here.
Well, I don't know.
In the nooks and cranny, they'll find it. Also, I think that they're Canadian. The store. It's
is from... it legal in Canada? I don't think so.
Some would say Canada's a whole different state, or a whole different country.
I've heard that, but I'll Google it to be sure.
Yeah, I think that something that makes me wonder is, you know, like all the folks that were working there, like, did they know? Did they not know? And if they didn't know, then how is it that they were able to work there? For, I mean, like, it would suck if they, you know, didn't know, got in trouble, and they were like, well,
it's why illegal the heck in Canada, by the way.
Why the heck was this open if this is illegal, you know? So, I don't know. I can see some people knowing, some people not knowing. But the people who just let folks with cameras and microphones, you know, let them use their full name in an article where they're implicating themselves in an illegal page.
Which, like, yeah, for them, possession is not, I hopefully that's not going to
Yeah, really, I
much,
really hope
but
not.
But the people
yeah.
who are, yeah, anyway.
Yes.
We wanted to do a quick stop in national news, right, before we go to our community question?
Yes.
Talk to me.
Either one of these looks better. Do you want to end on a happy note?
I think we end on a happy note.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I think the juxtaposition of some of these things going on at the national level that Tammy pointed out is stark and is worth discussing.
Yeah, so earlier in the week, I saw this article and I sent it to you because I was like, what am I reading right now? And it was an article talking about how the Supreme Court is facing this new case where there's a website designer, or excuse me, a graphic designer who decided that they don't want to make a website for a gay couple because it offends their religion, and their morals, and all of that. So just kind of like the same stuff that we've heard for, geez, decades now. And so, you know, that is kind of interesting that still is happening. But the part that really kind of so the fact it's right now it's at the Supreme Court and they're discussing it, and they got into I'm not a Supreme Court judge, but I'd say they got into the weeds on this one. They were they got into the conversation is around same sex
like discriminating against same-sex couples.
Yes, so that's where it started, and there, you know, this article by the Washington Post, they mentioned the cake decorator, which was kind of like a famous case, also.
Right.
And Colorado law, as it stands, forbids companies who are open to the public from denying goods and services to customers based on disability, race, creed, color, sex, sexual orientation, marital status, national origin or ancestry. Oof. Colorado said we gotta get all of them.
Sorry, this is all hypothetical.
What's that?
I'm sorry, the person, I just got to this part, I'm so sorry. The person who's suing about building websites for couples, she has not created websites for heterosexual couples and has not had to tell a same-sex couple that she will not work for them.
The yes, the
what?
The
Sorry.
She's saying that the law itself violates her religious views. And on the...
Let's get back. Okay, but for other hypotheticals...
Yes.
There's many of them.
And just to keep going with what you're saying, she wants to create... This is from the article.
Mm.
Smith wants to create wedding websites to tell, quote, through God's eyes, the stories of heterosexual couples. Wow. And she wants to be able to let people who are same-sex couples, to let them know that she will not be able to provide them of that platform.
Can I say something snarky?
Please.
Given the aesthetics, she may not have to. That's all I was gonna say.
I didn't even think of going to website dogging her for her skills.
Well, no, just.
But there. So the Supreme Court. So this got to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
The judges are. Excuse me. The justices are talking about this, and oh boy, did the hypotheticals start pouring in.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm talking about. How is this even happening? Justice Jackson was brought up an analogy of a mall Santa, wondering whether a photographer who wants to create the ambience of the movie It's a Wonderful Life might be able to exclude black children. So that was the first.
So would that be discrimination?
Yeah, would that be considered discrimination? Alito countered by, and this I'm quoting from this article, Alito countered by conjuring up a black Santa at the other end of the mall who wanted to be free to refuse a photograph to a child wearing a Ku Klux Klan outfit. What? How would that even happen?
Keep reading.
There was a nervous laughter in the audience when Alito replied, "Do you see a lot of black children in Ku Klux Klan outfit, right? All the time."
Well, and right before that, the Colorado Solicitor General said children wearing such outfits are not protected under the law. Justice Elena Kagan says Santa could refuse anyone wearing such an outfit regardless of their race.
This is where we're at.
Part where they start bringing up Ashley Madison, the Seeking Arrangements website, like the cheating on your wife for money.
Ashley, it's a website for mostly men to cheat on their wives or to meet young women discreetly, with perhaps some payment involved. And why was this mentioned? How do these justices know about this? Beyond me. But this is where we're at. I don't get it. I really don't.
Like,
why are they trying to get... It's like...
Can I say it? Alito's a clown. I'm sorry. Like, the argument that he's putting together... Like, I took a couple of law classes in college, and I know that what he's saying is absolutely ludicrous, okay? Why?
Where would there be? First of all,
Child be in a KKK outfit?
And also, where are the parents? Also, are you just going to let your kid leave him high and dry there just to walk around looking like I don't know what in the middle of the mall? That's not going to do that to your kid. And then what? Wait, I hope Santa isn't wearing a Klan outfit. That's all I got to say, because all of this is just me. All this is putting a bad taste in my mouth with Santa and kids. And also, do they know Santa is well? Do they know that some people don't believe in Santa?
I don't think you should tell that to Alito. I think his head's gonna explode if you tell him.
This has been a rough week for him.
Well, and not to get too in the weeds on other stuff that he's been up to, but there's like growing journalism covering that all of the leaks for these like wild decisions overturning stuff, including the Roe v. Wade, including the Dodds decision, came from inside, like from his indiscrepancies, from his own stuff, you know. And he's like, how dare they leak this, there's a conspiracy against conservative lawmaking. No, there is a conspiracy of conservative lawmaking with the Federalist Society. Let me not get all the way into it, but it's literally his fault. And they're bringing up these hypotheticals boggle the mind. They make my brain hurt, and I have to do a whole day of work after this, so I like don't
there is
I don't want to get a headache.
There is a part that said, where is this? Olson said the conflating speech with commerce, and I think that is it's interesting. I don't know what I just saw that line, and I said, yeah, this is just so ridiculous, you know. And it's a part of me is saying, you know, like, I'll learn how to make websites, and I'll make anyone who's whatever, any website that you want, you know? But then a part of me is also like, that's not the point. The point is, you know, that people should not be getting discriminated against, that, you know? And that if someone is getting discriminated against in a country where there is a constitution that is supposed to protect everyone.
Yeah.
And has
Wait, sorry, who does it protect?
That's supposed to protect everyone.
Whoa, okay.
It's strange that there aren't enough mechanisms to be able to uphold that. Because, you know, there are countries that don't have constitutions, you know? And I always wonder, man, wouldn't it be easier for them if they had a constitution? And I'm like, well, then you'll have people asking, what about if Santa's is, if what about if there's a black Santa and a kid who's wearing a Klan outfit and he's asking him for a multiracial Barbie,
compelling him to sign up for Ashley Madison?
Ooh,
what then? Is that still free speech?
Free speech, free commerce speech.
What if a child goes to the mall in a KKK outfit and they make a bomb threat, but it's actually just what they're asking for, a bomb threat for Christmas? Is that free speech? Like, that's what we're, it's like, it's so convoluted, dude. It's crazy.
I don't know. That last one, I don't know. We gotta figure that one, that last one
yeah,
out.
Yeah, the greatest, I need know. The great legal minds, please send us an email about what that would be. So it's disheartening, to be sure, that this is the state of affairs.
Well, and the thing that it, I just feel like I'm getting like whiplash, because it's, on the other hand, the U.S. Congress passed the same sex marriage act. Hopefully, will become a law. So that's kind of pretty great. The Respect for Marriage Act, and I think, I don't know, it's just so strange that, you know, this, the first article about, you know, kind of like from the Supreme Court, I think it was on the 5th, and then this one is from yesterday.
Mm.
And I'm just like, dude, y'all gotta chill. Like, I can't. You're doing too much, you know? And it does feel like we're just kind of like at this, I don't know, it always feels like we're at this tipping point, right?
Yeah.
Every day in history, everyone can always say it feels like we're at a tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like we could be doing so much, but we're kind of just making sure that we are, crossing our T's, dotting our I's type of thing, because there's a strange amount of like a wave of wanting to go, you know, like a wave of anti, like, I don't know, like anti-democracy, anti-liberal, like anti-human rights.
Yeah.
Just anti-everything.
Backlash. Backlash.
Backlash, yeah. So this is great, and you know, this is going to go sit at Biden's office, hopefully get signed.
Yeah.
And pop that bad boy into,
let's get it done by the weekend. You know what I'm saying?
This is how they talk on the hill, you know? Get that bad boy
free
in
up
there.
A little bit of time. Good news, guys, we'll still have gay marriage on Christmas. So that's,
thank God. Hopefully it'll be, and we'll have it forever.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
So
this is kind of where we're at. A lot of things happened.
But you know, glad for the Respect for Marriage Act, that it seems that Democrats at least learned a little bit of the lesson with Roe. Like, hey, codify. Hurry,
yeah.
Okay? We don't need to sit around and assume that the Supreme Court is going to
we're saying that presidencies are
it's almost like this undemocratic body is going to continue to be undemocratic, and it might not always be undemocratic in your favor.
Sure. And that's, all of a sudden, that's when it's a problem, right?
I mean, I think it's I think there have been good things that have come out of it, but progressives and, you know, people on the Democrats, like, relying on the court to do things with them when they've done nothing to maintain, like, that judicial understanding, and the entire federal court system is filled with Federalist Society members.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Alito has proven to me that perhaps this,
he should be embarrassed.
These conversations, yeah, this is,
I mean, also, like, the stuff that he and Thomas were saying in the Indian Child Welfare Act case. You know it's bad when Neil Gorsuch is like, can you guys stop? Like, you don't, like, admit that you don't know anything, because what you're saying is so bizarre.
It's like watching that Alex Jones thing recently. It's,
oh,
just,
yeah.
Like, what,
oh,
is going on?
Yeah, it's bad. You know it's bad when somebody of that stature is like, hey, that's not what you mean. Don't say that, I think.
Very bizarre.
Very bizarre.
Strange times we're living in. But
you
want
to take a quick musical break and come back for the community question? Or was there more to say? Sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, this looks like a good place to to hold our horses.
This is The Gap on KBOO Portland. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me. We're going to take a quick musical break, and we'll be back for the community question. Stay with us.
Loya mbinenge likere wongi Orbem balele limunu wongi Sogolwe mabinenge likere wongi Loya mbinenge likere wongi Ngeni yesri yibe yo Basori nigil nibe yo Loyes biwele nikere wongi Onge ba biwele ni munu wongi Loyes iho Inyonyo ninyo.
And we are back here on The Gap. A beautiful little tune by Bleak Bassey.
Mm.
Enjoyed that, didn't you?
I did.
He sings in a French Cameroon.
Ooh.
Yes, Cameroon.
Well, as we head into our community question, before we get there, we want to mention.
We are in the midst of our end of the year giving and receiving fund drive. We are counting on you to help us continue on being and creating. We're looking for your support here at KBOO.
Yeah.
You can go to kboo.fm/give to make a donation.
Mm-hmm.
To keep the signal alive.
Yeah.
You can never stop the signal.
Right. We're very, I love that. We're very grateful to everybody who's helped to support us so far. And if you've been thinking about it, now is a great time. 80% of our funds come from listeners and supporters like you. So maybe now is a good time. We especially appreciate recurring monthly donations. Those help us out a lot because it is revenue that we can rely on to make sure that we're still able to stay on the air, to train new folks in radio, and continue to have this voice for the community, continue for the next generation. So kboo.fm/give, text KBOO to 44321, and thank you.
And if you can't donate, then you're always looking for people to volunteer, right?
Yeah, we always need volunteers.
Althea's working on a mural here.
Yeah.
I said it, looking for help.
I was painting yesterday. I'll send you guys a photo.
Yes, thank you. We need it.
Ready for community question?
Yes, community question, part two of this here program on The Gap, the community question, where we ask you the community a question and open up the phone lines for you, the community, to answer it.
Mm.
And this time, we want to know, what's a mistake you won't ever do again? Big or small?
503-231-8187 is the number to call. We would love to hear from you. What is a mistake that you won't make again?
I'll tell you what, those folks at the Shroom House surely learned a couple of lessons. That's for sure. That is for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You know, quick mistake, just Google if the business that you work for is legal. That might be, it's kind of a quick one. But yeah, 503-231-8187. Please give us a call. We would love to hear from you about a mistake that you won't be making next time.
I'll tell you
a
one
teachable
mistake.
Moment. Some
a
have called it
teachable moment. I think Baldwin called a teachable moment.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. And a little bit in the spirit of this the Supreme Court, in the spirit of the Shroom House. You know, I'm always going to wait for a lawyer. Always. Mm. And they say, no, it's okay. You don't have to wait. You wait. You do have to wait.
I would love to have a lawyer at this point.
You know, lawyer's always going to be there to help you out. So wait until they get there.
Mm.
Always.
That's a good one.
Yes. Don't even sneeze.
Yeah.
Also, another mistake that I won't make again is assuming, I think I've talked about this before, assuming I know what the word deductible means.
Oh.
Because I said to myself, I have this high deductible. I can go do whatever I want. I'm insured up to this amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Out of pocket, out of whose pocket, not mine.
Yeah.
Very quickly, I learned that that's not what deductible means. It's actually quite the opposite.
You're bragging to people about your high deductible.
And a high deductible is not a good thing.
No.
503-231-8187. What's a mistake that you won't repeat, a teachable moment. And you know, you might be saving someone else a bunch of heartache. So
that's true.
It could be very, very helpful.
Think a little of bit of insight.
A bit of a cautionary tales, perhaps.
Sure.
503-231-8187.
You know what else I'll say is, like, there's some lessons that you learn yourself and you have to learn them the hard way. There's other ones where it's like, no, I believe you. I won't do that. It seems like I'm so sorry that you had to go through that, but I will heed your advice and not do that myself.
It's one of those.
Yeah.
I have a lot of mistakes. Hooking up with someone you work with. Don't.
Okay, yeah. Tammy's saying no on that one, so I think everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everybody maybe take a second look at it. 503-231-8187. On The Gap today, we are asking folks, what is a mistake that you won't make again? It can be a big mistake, it can be a small mistake. Let us know. 503-231-8187. Save somebody in our listening community a little bit of heartache. Could do for that.
And we have our first caller on the line. Nick, can you hear us?
What's up? It's Nick.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
Good morning.
Oh, good. I just want to say, never give them your legal name if you don't have to. Always have a fake name that you know for not, because I've made that mistake.
Yeah.
And if, you know, for people, everyone's getting poorer. So, you know, a lot of people applying for like food stamps, they've never done it before. It's not on the books. Doesn't exist. That's my advice. Anyways, my full legal name is Jehoshaphat Semensky, and I have a number of small arms and quote-unquote illegal substances that are really kind of legal if you think about it. And if anyone wants to give me a call, I can leave my number about that.
We really appreciate
it. I do international
it.
Deals. You
okay,
know.
Right.
I'm here for the people. So yeah, just hit me up.
The people appreciate you.
Thank you.
Have
Thank
a good
you.
One.
Yeah, that's a good tip. I got a pretty wild phone call the other day that I didn't really want to participate in or have another call. And they're like, oh, yeah, and what was your name? And I go, and my name, people, it's kind of unique,
yeah,
not
for
to
sure.
brag.
No, it is very unique.
But I go, oh, I'm Annie. And they're like, Annie, thank you. Like, you were so awesome. I was like, oh, I didn't want to be awesome, but I'm glad it was Annie that was awesome. not me, really.
503.
Yeah.
231-8187. See, we're all learning.
Yeah.
I like this.
Having one in the back pocket. Can I tell you another time I used a fake name?
Yeah, sure.
I was in eighth grade. It Ooh. Was a scavenger hunt at Pike Place Market in Seattle. And I would have been like 13, and there was a magician who Ooh. Stopped me and my friend. And of course we were pretending to be British. But he was like, so what's your girl's names? You know? And I was like, Elizabeth. Like, I pretended my name was Elizabeth. I forget what my friend said. And then he like had us write our names on a card, which was like really scary because like, oh God, what was my name again?
All right, yeah.
But then I put down Lizard, you know, like a fun nickname. So I was really into the fiction. Anyway, you don't need to give your legal name to a magician when you're 13 either. So if there's any, you know, 13-year-olds looking to get into magic, you could have whatever kind of name you want, and you could be British, and you could trick an adult. So
yeah, you could. You don't have to give your name to street magicians, newscasts, or journalists coming at you while you're trying to purchase psilocybin on the street.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, these are all teachable moments.
Teachable moments.
503-231-8187. Ooh, another phone call.
Teachable moments. Learnable mistakes. Maybe that'll be the title of this episode. Yeah, give us a call. 503-231-8187. Maybe your mistake story could help somebody else out there. Be reminded of maybe sometimes we don't have to give out our real name. That's what we got so far. Tammy.
That was a robot call. Sorry.
A robot call?
I know. Every once in a while, I get those bad boys.
Well, that's a mistake.
That's a mistake. Yes, how many mistakes do I not have? Mistake that I won't do again. Wait too long to get an oil change.
Oh,
boom.
Yeah, I just got mine done recently. It was overdue. I didn't feel good about it.
Or just waiting on things when you know that you should probably take care of them before they clunk out on you.
Yeah, 100%. One mistake, I have a radio related mistake that I made a couple weeks ago. I was engineering our newscast on a Wednesday, or maybe it was a Friday, and I accidentally had my headphones set to the radio signal, and we're on a 40-second delay. So I was ready to go, and then my headphones, it like all sounded wrong. So there was a little moment of me going, oh, and then like turned it back off. So then there's 40 seconds of nothing on the air because I wasn't on the right time. And that's something that you play with in radio.
Timing is everything.
But I felt real silly about it. I'll tell you what.
And we have Peter on the line. Peter, can you hear us? Can you hear us now? There you are. We can hear you. Sorry about that.
All good. I've got a mistake that I made very recently that I will never make again, and that is if I'm putting a glass bottle, say, of balsamic vinegar or maybe wine on top of my refrigerator, make sure that it's all the way back and not hovering above the edge of the door so that when you open the door, it falls and breaks all on the ground. That's my mistake.
Yes, putting things on the edge. I feel you.
Yeah.
We live there. We don't put things there.
Yeah, that's right.
Balsamic's potent, too. That's a mess that takes a second.
Mm. Well, yeah. We appreciate you, Peter. We hope that you're all cleaned up at this point.
Yeah, there's a lingering kind of stickiness on the kitchen floor, but yeah. Mostly good.
I believe that it will come out. Thank you for calling.
We'll see ya.
Yep.
If other folks want to call, please do. 503-231-8187. What's a mistake you won't make again?
I wonder if white vinegar would
negate it
with the balsamic.
Have we considered baking soda? Is that in the conversation?
Those are the two things. Pop a little coconut oil on it and that's it.
The big three, they call them. One time I accidentally inhaled balsamic vinegar. And it was pretty unpleasant, if I could be frank and open and honest with you.
It is. Oh, you ever, when you reduce it, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Don't. Oh, another mistake I made.
Please.
Open up a lid of boiling water and look above it like an idiot, because all that does is you get a steam burn.
Yeah.
Because.
Youch.
Yeah, so I learned that. If when you open up a pot, don't have your face directly over it.
Sure. That's a good one.
Yeah.
One time, this was when I was maybe in high school. I don't really know where my mind was, but I dropped a piece of pizza on the floor.
Aww.
And I was pretty upset about it. So I did try to rinse it off in the sink.
And?
It didn't work.
No.
And I was so frustrated.
Oh, but that is frustrating.
Now, of course, I know that you need white vinegar to clean off a piece of pizza if it falls on the floor. That's a little bit of sarcasm.
So how many mistakes do I not have? I'm trying to think of more recent ones.
Well, if other people call in, please.
503-231-8187.
I don't want to not say the number.
503-231-8187. We are asking for your for a mistake that you won't do again. Doesn't have to be recent. It could be recent. A teachable moment, per se. A moment where you say, "Welp, I'm never going to do that again."
Oops. All right, my bad.
I feel like we've all had moments where we're kind of looking at ourselves, looking at the situation we've created and saying, never again.
Yeah, not going to do that. I had one of those this week. I had to like borrow a car from my mechanic because they were doing my timing belt. And my car is like kind of old, about 20 years old. And boy, if I didn't know that, mine has the auto lights. So when it's automatic, it'll turn off when I lock the car.
Oh.
So I'm, you know, in a rental, I come to work, and wouldn't you know it, I left the lights on all day. And when I get out of work, my battery is as dead as it gets. And I don't, you know, like drain,
sure,
because it kept it on all day. And this is a mistake I almost made twice. So I get somebody to help me jump it. Super nice. But I'm like, when I got out, I remember getting out of the car and there's like a beeping sound. It's like, and I was like, whatever. I don't know what that means. So I just close the door, lock it, and walk away. And then when I got home that night, finally, after jumping the car, I like luckily went to go look at my mail and came back. It's like, oh no, the lights are on again. And I totally heard that sound and I didn't know what the sound meant. And I would have been, you know, twice with the ultra dead battery, which it was good that I didn't. And
yeah.
I did have like a whole winter where I had like a battery in my actual car that was far past its due date, and I was getting stuck all over the place.
See, there you go.
Having to call people, and like a new battery is like $160, and they'll put it in for you. It's like, wow, that would have saved me a lot of time. It was like definitely worth it to have a battery that worked for my car.
Got to take care of business before the business takes care of you.
Ooh, I like that.
Got a chock full of them.
Yeah. We have a few minutes left, folks. If you want to call in, we're talking about what's a mistake that you won't make again. 503-231-8187 is the number. We heard about not giving your real name. We heard about not putting glass bottles of fragrant substances, including vinegar, on a high shelf or above a fridge.
Not on the edge. We live on the edge. We don't put stuff there.
Yeah.
That was the one from that one.
Mm-hmm.
503-231-8187 for our last remaining minutes. Trying to think anything that could be helpful for the people recently. Recently I learned, you know, sometimes I learned you gotta maybe take a moment to look at people, how they react, and then put trust in them.
Okay.
As a person who used to not be trustful, I now became too trustful.
Oh.
Good old, what's her name, with the porridge. Too hot, too warm. Got another call. Hold on.
Goldilocks is the poll there. If other folks want to call in, please. 503-231-8187. We're hearing, what is a mistake that you won't make again? Trusting, being too trusting, spilling things. Oftentimes when I try to explain why I do something, that's when I discover that there's this whole line of mistakes that I made that now is like part of the logic of why I do it this way. And then I try to explain to you why I do it this way. It has to be in this particular order. That's a good way to discover, hey, I learned my lesson.
Sure.
I changed my behavior.
And we have Melanie on the line. Melanie, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
You're on there. Why don't you share your teachable moment with us?
I won't leave my personal belongings exposed in my vehicle for a tweaker to break into and steal and then try to come to my house with my keys and my wallet. Ooh. And my driver's license and credit card and try to rob my house.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you put a blanket over them, or I'm just kidding.
I'm just not leaving them in my car anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm sorry you had to learn it the hard way.
The very hard way, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, they came to my house 45 minutes after breaking into my vehicle, luckily my partner was home and was able to chase them away, but yeah.
Dang.
Change all the laws.
It's a lot of...
all sorts of things. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and just like the absolutely no hang time in between. That's a lot.
Yes. Ambitious.
Ambitious indeed. Well, I'm glad to hear that it worked out okay, and it's a good reminder to everybody.
Yeah, I'm glad you shared that. You may have saved someone today.
Yeah, be vigilant, people.
Mm, thank you so much, Melanie.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, have a good one.
That is rough.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have time for one more
call? Yeah, let's do one more quick one.
Okay, we have Francis on the line. Francis, can you hear us?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I wasn't going to call because the topic I wasn't too interested in, but then I thought, well, wait a minute, I make the mistake of assuming a conversation is going to go a certain way and then be disappointed when it doesn't.
Mm.
And I think I just did that this morning because I thought I was going to be able to call in and share the joy about Brittany Griner coming home.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'd like to end with that. She's home. She's in San Antonio on her way home.
Yes.
That's good news.
Terrific news.
Yes.
Long-awaited news.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, bringing it up.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Some good news.
Yeah, love to end on a high note, you know?
I capable with these backhanded compliments. Sometimes y'all gotta really, all right, okay, thank you, I guess.
I'm sure somebody, if we didn't spend enough time on Brittany Griner, somebody else today will.
Yes, for
sure.
We'll
do that for you, I'm sure.
Although I am glad that is the case.
Yeah,
Y'all people
been waiting on it for far too long.
Mm.
We are coming up on the end of the time for our program, The Gap. Want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much for teaching us your teachable moments. You can always get in touch with us by email, thegapradio@gmail.com. Oh, I forgot to mention we got some mail. Thank you to Boo for sending
mailbag,
us a letter.
Mailbag. Thank you.
You can always also send us a letter, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Send it down to the KBOO station. We love to hear from you. And also, got to still make that mention of our end of year membership drive. We really rely on the support from our members and listeners who, you know, are the lifeblood of this station. We want to make things for you that help you understand your community better and connect with people and learn about new music genres. All of that is what we're doing all year round, and we could really use your support. So consider going to kbu.fm/give, or you can text KBU to 44321 to learn more about donating. We also have some shirts for sale if you wanted a little bit of cloth in exchange for... I mean, they're nice shirts. When I say a little bit of cloth, it makes it sound like it's not a good shirt.
No,
but we got
shirts
going to show your support also out in the world, which is cool. But yeah, please give us some support, whatever you got going. That's great. If you can't donate, no pressure. But if you got a little bit of extra stuff lying around, you can go to kbu.fm/give or text KBU to 44321.
Yes, all of the support really helps everything.
And we love hearing from you, too.
Yes, we do. We have some beautiful notes that people have written also. And I really love the snail mail, although,
yeah,
you know, the website may make it a bit easier to donate,
yeah,
by going to kboo.fm/give.
Yes.
What was the texting?
Text KBU to 44321.
44321. Yes, mm-hmm. I always get those mixed up.
Yeah. Well, we try to make it easy.
Yeah. Easy peasy.
Either way, you should be able to find it if now is a good time for you to donate. We very much appreciate it. And we want to thank everybody for calling in.
Thank you.
It was a little bit lonely last week when we were just talking to each other. I mean, we talked to each other regularly, so it was just sort of like that, but in here. So yeah, glad to hear from folks for sure.
I'm glad to learn from everyone. And like one of the callers said, you know, be vigilant, watch out,
mm-hmm,
be kind to yourself and each other. We're kind of all we've got.
Yep.
See you next week.
Thanks. Goodbye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is listener supported. That's right. 80% of our funding comes from donations from listeners just like you. You can always make a donation to help keep KBOO independent and non-commercial at kbu.fm/give. But right now, during our end of the year drive, is the perfect time to contribute. Give now and help us reach our goal of $70,000 by December 31st. Make your tax-deductible year-end donation at kbu.fm/give today.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for